Someone somewhere in America becomes a millionaire every 12 minutes.
Success. The very word evokes tantalizing images. However, most of us believe success is for the other guy, the lucky guy. But for us, it's out of reach.
Success is not an accident. It is a skill. It is predictable, and it can be learned, and it can be learned by you, and it can be learned by anyone. And the sooner you learn this skill, and the sooner you become an expert in the skills of success, the sooner you achieve the great things that you were born to accomplish.
The Nightingale Conant Corporation welcomes you to The Psychology of Success. Our host is Brian Tracy. Brian is uniquely qualified to talk to you about success because Brian knows success. Brian Tracy has worked in more than 80 countries on 5 continents. He has served as a top-level executive for a company with more than $200 million in assets. He is president of his own company, the Institute for Executive Development. He has worked as a consultant for more than 100 businesses in areas such as sales, marketing, creativity, and personal motivation. And Brian spends 20 to 30 hours a week in research on individual achievement and human potential. In this program, Brian tells you exactly what successful people do so you can do it. He tells you what failures do so you can avoid it. And he outlines 10 principles you can strive for that will put you on the road to certain success. The psychology of success will surprise you.
Many people think that you have to be very intelligent to be successful in life. Exhaustive research shows that many self-made millionaires have only average intelligence. The reason why this helps them is because they never become impressed with how smart they are, and they're always trying to learn more.
The psychology of success will force you to take a good, hard look at your work habits and change them.
The one human quality that must be developed for success is self-discipline. The willpower to force yourself to do what you know you should do, when you should do it, whether you like it or not, whether you feel like it or not. Success is tons of discipline.
The psychology of success will help you plan your life just as a ship plots its course.
An average person with average talents and abilities and average education can outstrip the most brilliant genius in our society if that average person has clear, focused goals. Without goals, you are doomed forever to work for people who do.
The psychology of success will inspire you.
Your true success in life begins only when you make the commitment to become excellent at what you do. Every study of high-achieving men and women proves that greatness in life is only possible when you become outstanding at your chosen field.
And the psychology of success will tell you some things you may not want to hear.
The average self-made millionaire works over 60 hours per week. And this is the one single factor that they all have in common. In our society, you work 8 hours per day for survival. Everything over 8 hours is for success.
The psychology of success is a blueprint for peak performance and high achievement. Step by step, Brian Tracy shows you how to get to the top, how to realize your dreams. Success, Brian says, is predictable, and it begins inside you. Somewhere in America, someone becomes a millionaire every 12 minutes. The clock is running. Get ready. This could be your time.
Hello, I'm Brian Tracy, and welcome to The Psychology of Success. For the last 20 years, I've studied successful men and women, successful companies and organizations, and I've practiced some of the success principles we're going to talk about, and they've been extraordinarily helpful to me. And in this program, I've put together what I consider to be the most important single findings on success in all of the history of the subject. Today, more people are becoming successful faster than any other time in human history. Someone somewhere in America becomes a millionaire every 12 minutes. By 1990, one household in every 100 will have a net worth in excess of $1 million. At least 80% of these millionaires are self-made. That is, they started with nothing but ambition and energy, the same way most of us start. Many of them never went to college. Many of them only got average grades in school. Many self-made millionaires started with no advantages at all. Some were orphans. Some were immigrants who couldn't even speak English. Most of them went broke or nearly broke more than once on the way up. Self-made millionaires, Olympic athletes, high achievers in the arts, science, business, and every other field have been studied exhaustively to find out what makes them tick. These type of people have fascinated researchers for years now, and today we have the answers. Today we know more about how to achieve great success in life than ever before. Today, for the first time, imagine this: success is as predictable as the sun rising in the east and setting in the west. Today, success is a science. It has been broken down and subdivided, and anybody can achieve greater success, wealth, and happiness in life if they will simply do two things. First, make a decision to be successful right now. Most people never decide to be wealthy, and that's why they retire poor. According to actuarial statistics, of 100 people working today who reach the age of 65, one will be wealthy, four will be financially independent, 15 will have some savings put aside, and the other 80% will be flat, broke, busted, dependent upon pensions and charity. Only 1 or 2% will ever do really well, and that is in spite of living in one of the most affluent societies in all of human history. And the second requirement, if you want to achieve greater success, is simply this: learn from the experts. Study successful men and women and do what they do, and you'll be successful too. It sounds simple, doesn't it? Well, if you want to learn to be a good cook, you study cooking. You don't try to figure it out for yourself. You buy cookbooks, and you take classes and lessons, and you learn from the experts. If you want to be an engineer, you go to the university and you study engineering. You learn from other engineers. If you want to be successful, you study success. You become an expert on success. Now, I'm astonished, and I'm always astonished, at some of the most important things in life, people think that they're going to learn them by osmosis. I'm always amazed that most parents never read about how to bring up happy, healthy, self-confident children, and they can't understand why they're having problems with their kids. And I'm amazed that many people never read and study communications and human relations, and they wonder why they have problems with other people. And I'm always astonished that men and women think about success day and night, and yet very few of them ever read about it, ever study it, ever listen to tapes, ever take courses or seminars. They seem to excuse them by feeling that these are the sort of things that they're going to learn by osmosis. They're just simply going to attract them, if you like. When I was 30 years old, I was a high school dropout. I was broke, I was unemployed, and I was deeply, I can tell you deeply, in debt. Now, I had read many books on success, and I'd had some successes as a result. At age 25, I started and built a 100-person sales force, covering six countries, doing $1 million per month in business by simply practicing some principles I had learned at that time from books and picked up from other people. However, as time went on, I lost those principles, I forgot the principles, and I reached my state at the age of 30 where I had no skill, I had no training, I was deeply in debt, and I was going nowhere. And that's the point at which I made a decision. And I found that every single successful person I've ever spoken to had a turning point. And a turning point was where they made a clear, specific, unequivocal decision that they weren't going to live like this anymore, that they were going to achieve success. And some people make that decision at 15, and some people make it at 50, and most people never make it at all. I made the decision that I was going to be successful, and I was going to do whatever was necessary to achieve it. I was going to pay whatever price was necessary to accomplish my goals. This was my turning point. I sat down, and I thought through everything I had learned in my 30 years. I had read many books on success, and I listened to many tapes, and I attended many courses. And I developed a simple system based on the best success principles I had found, and then I put it to work. That was all. In 1975, I earned less than $15,000. In 1980, 5 years later, my income had increased 10 times to almost $150,000. By 1985, 5 years later, my simple success system had brought my income up to over $1.5 million. I increased my income by 100 times in 10 years. I was absolutely astonished by it. I still am astonished, except that I can see that I will increase my income by another 10 times over the next 5 years by following these same principles, and so can you. Let me assure you that this was gross income, not net income. And what I discovered over the years of study and practice was simply this: if you design a success system and follow it, you will be far more successful than if you don't. Any system based on sound principles is better than no system at all. This entire program is an outline of my system of ideas, a system that can be applied to almost any occupation in life to get better results. Do you know the percentage of new businesses that fail in the first 3 to 5 years? According to the experts, approximately 80% of businesses fail within that period of time. However, recently they've been dividing new business startups into two categories. The first category is businesses started by people with 5 years or more of business experience. And the second category is businesses started by people with no business experience at all. And the statistics turn out to be very different for these groups. Businesses started by people with experience in business have a 90% or better success rate, whereas businesses started by people with no experience have a 99% failure rate. Now, does that make sense? Of course it makes sense. If you don't have any experience, how can you make a business successful? Business is too complicated. Every so often I have people come up to me and say they want to borrow money from the bank to start a business. And I said, well, have you built a successful business before? And they say no. Then I say, well, then there's no banker on earth that's going to lend you any money. The only way that you can borrow from the banks is when you can demonstrate to them that you don't really need it, or that you have at least 2-to-1 asset coverage. Now, the reasons are obvious why people with experience succeed and why people without experience fail. It's the same in life. People with success, knowledge, and experience succeed, and people without it fail. We know that the more successful you are, the more success experiences you have, the more likely it is that you will be successful in other things. We know that the fewer success experiences and the less success knowledge you have, the less likely it is that you'll be successful. Do you know the success rate for an established franchise, one that's been in business for at least 5 years? Well, according to the experts, it's 70 to 90% success rate. McDonald's, for instance, has over 8,600 outlets, and they haven't had a failure in 25 years. Now, why should this be? Well, the reason is simple. A franchise is a proven success system. It is a system based on years of trial and error. All you have to do with a franchise is to do what you're told, follow the system, and your success is almost guaranteed. A McDonald's executive told me once that the best franchisees are farmers. Because if farmers come off the farm and into the city and start a franchise, they will do exactly what McDonald's tells them to do. They will not try to improve on the methods, or they will not try to shortcut the methods. They will do exactly what they're told to do, and they'll do it over and over again. And he said that every single farmer that has ever bought a McDonald's franchise has been extremely successful. Whereas very often, MBAs and people from the universities and people with previous business experiences will buy franchises, and they'll try to change the system. Instead of following the success principles, they'll try to change the system, and they run into nothing but problems. The principles in this program are like a franchise, a proven success system based on my 20 years of research and practice, as well as the research and practice of hundreds of the smartest and most successful men and women that America has ever produced. One of the great keys to success is to use proven success methods. Learn from the experts. Don't try to reinvent the wheel. Life is too short for that. Surprisingly enough, most people either never study success, or if they do, they ignore what they've learned and try to do it all on their own. An amazing fact of human nature is that once we develop a system or an idea or a method that works for us, we have a tendency to discard it and try methods that don't work and then be amazed at our lack of success. Now, this is almost a sure prescription for failure. Let's look at some of the general principles of success that we've discovered over the years. And this will be the foundation or the basis for the rest of this program. Number one principle, most important of all, is that success begins inside you. It starts from the inside out. It is a state of mind. It is a function of your character and your personality. Remember, it is not what you do so much as who you are that counts. Number two, the psychology of success simply equals mental fitness, which is a feeling of self-confidence, happiness, enthusiasm, and a positive mental attitude. Because if you have feelings of unshakable self-confidence, happiness, enthusiasm, and a positive mental attitude, nothing in the world can stop you from being successful. And that is a primary aim of this program, is to give you those feelings. Number three, your level of self-esteem, how much you like yourself, how much you respect yourself and accept yourself as a valuable and worthwhile person, is the foundation quality of all success, all high achievement, and all peak performance. The more you like yourself, the better you do everything you turn your hand to. Point number four, the purposeful development of self-esteem is the psychology of success. Everything you do that makes you feel more positive toward yourself and your life builds your self-esteem and improves your level of mental fitness. In other words, when you use proven success methods, every single time you do and you get a positive result, you get a jolt of self-esteem and self-confidence that makes you feel great about yourself and enthuses you to go on to the next effort. Number five, true self-esteem arises from an enhanced feeling of competence. Everything you do that gives you a greater sense of mastery and achievement boosts your self-esteem. Number six, your self-esteem is largely determined by how much you believe in yourself. Your beliefs, more than anything else, determine your reality. You always think and act in a manner consistent with your innermost convictions. If you change your beliefs, you change your life. Henry Ford once said, if you believe you can do a thing, or if you believe you cannot, you are right. Now, your beliefs are terribly important because your beliefs edit out all information that is inconsistent with them. Your beliefs cause you to see the world in a specific way, cause you to see people and situations, and especially yourself, in a certain way. And the most important thing you can do is begin to change your beliefs so that you believe yourself to be capable of great success. One of the beliefs that holds us back and which held me back for many years was that if you don't get good grades in school, you're not going to do very well in life. Because they told us that over and over again, from the first grade and the second grade and the third grade and the 10th grade and the 12th grade. And even in university, we were told over and over again, if you don't get good grades in school, you won't do well in life. And you know something? Exhaustive research indicates that there is no direct correlation between success and good grades in school. Many people think that you have to be very intelligent to be successful in life. Exhaustive research shows that many self-made millionaires have only average intelligence. The reason why this helps them is because they never become impressed with how smart they are. And they're always trying to learn more. They're always curious and open and asking questions. And it's this that gets them the information that guarantees their success. Many people think you have to go to college in order to be successful. There's an enormous number of self-made millionaires and successful people in every field who never went to college. As a matter of fact, half the college graduates in America are working for people who didn't finish high school, in my estimation. Number 7, your level of self-esteem is determined by how much you believe yourself to be valuable, competent, worthwhile, respected, and important. Everything you do, every experience you have that causes you to feel more valuable raises your self-esteem. Every experience that causes you to feel less important or less valuable lowers your self-esteem, undermines your self-concept, and impairs your effectiveness. The reason why winners are winners, the reason why peak performers are peak performance, is because they are continually doing things on a day-to-day basis that give them positive feedback and make them feel great about themselves. Number 8, the opposites of self-esteem are fear, stress, psychosomatic illness, personality problems, negativity, cynicism, mediocrity, defeat, and failure in life. In fact, I feel that almost all human problems stem from low self-esteem, stem from the fact that people don't like themselves very much. Fears of failure, fears of poverty and rejection, fears of criticism, and fears of loss that hold us back are all rooted in low self-esteem. You see, the more you genuinely like and respect yourself as a valuable and worthwhile person, the less you fear failure because you realize that your failures are not you. And the less you fear rejection because you become less and less concerned with whether or not other people like or dislike what you do. And the more willing you are to reach out toward fulfilling your full potential. Number 9, it is possible to change your feelings, your attitudes, your opinions, your ideas, and beliefs about yourself by feeding your mind with a steady stream of positive, constructive messages that are consistent with the outcomes you desire rather than the outcomes you fear. As Earl Nightingale said, you do become what you think about most of the time. That the difference between successful people and unsuccessful people is that successful people think success. They think wealth. They think achievement. They think excellence. They think accomplishment. They think goals. And unsuccessful people, failures, think about lack and loss and limitation and poverty and how much everything costs and you can't fight City Hall. You do become what you think about. So it's very important that you continually feed your mind with thoughts, words, pictures, ideas, and images that are consistent with the person you want to be, with the qualities and attributes you want to have, with the lifestyle that you desire. Number 10, you should use positive affirmations, which is called positive self-talk, if you like. Repeat it over and over to yourself with enthusiasm and conviction. In other words, emotionalize the things that you say to yourself. Say things to yourself like, I like myself, I like myself, I like myself, I like myself. Whenever you say that, your self-esteem goes up. Whenever you say that, you feel better about yourself and you perform better. W. Clement Stone recommended that you say, I feel happy, I feel healthy, I feel terrific. You say that over and over again, you can actually feel yourself becoming charged with energy. Whenever you feel fearful or uneasy about something that you have to do, say this, I can do it. I can do anything I put my mind to. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. The more you repeat that, the less you fear failure, the less you fear rejection. Or here's a beautiful way to start the day. I believe something wonderful is going to happen to me today. I believe something wonderful is going to happen to me today. I believe something wonderful
is going to happen to me today. You'll be surprised if you start your day saying that 5 or 10 times and say it with enthusiasm. You'll be more positive, you'll be more optimistic, you'll be more cheerful, you'll feel better about yourself, and you'll find that other people will respond to you in a more positive way. Number 11, visualization. Practice visualizing yourself with the qualities, attributes, and behaviors you desire. Create clear mental pictures of your desired results over and over. And the last thing you do before you go to sleep at night is visualize yourself performing excellently. Visualize yourself enjoying having achieved your goals. Visualize yourself as the person you would like to be. Remember, your subconscious mind is activated by mental pictures, and it then makes all your words and actions fit a pattern consistent with your most intensely desired goals. It controls your body language, it controls your tone of voice, it controls your levels of energy. So the more you think and talk and visualize what it is you want to accomplish, the more likely it is you will say and do exactly the right things to cause it to happen. Number 12, when you use affirmations and visualization in combination with an attitude of positive expectations, you do two things. First of all, you become a positive, optimistic, cheerful person with the kind of attitude that is essential to success. And you can't imagine a really successful person who is not positive, optimistic, and cheerful. And number 2, you begin attracting into your life people and circumstances in harmony with your dominant thoughts. This is called the law of attraction. And what it says is that whatever thoughts dominate your thinking, you are going to attract people and circumstances into your life that harmonize with them. Now, this law of attraction works whether your dominant thoughts are positive or negative. So be careful. If you keep your thoughts positive, you'll attract positive circumstances. And if your thoughts are negative, you'll attract negative circumstances. Number 13, feed your mind continually with positive books, magazines, tapes, videos, and seminars. Avoid negative people, negative books, negative newspapers, negative magazines, negative stories. Feed your mind with positive information, which helps you, which is consistent with where you want to go and what you want to be. You see, you are very susceptible to what is called the power of suggestion, and you are influenced by every suggestive element in your environment. You're influenced by what people say and the books you read and the newspaper headlines and the news on television. And if you do not consciously keep your suggestive environment positive, it will tend in our society to be predominantly negative. Number 14, associate with positive, cheerful, optimistic, success-oriented people. Remember, birds of a feather do flock together. And the choice of negative people to associate with can condemn you to a lifetime of failure and underachievement. Dr. David McClelland at Harvard University found in 25 years of research that the choice of a negative reference group, the people that you associate with and identify with, can sink you in spite of all the education and opportunities and advantages that are given to you. Remember, you can't fly with the eagles if you scratch with the turkeys. Get around winners. Get around positive people. Get away from negative people. Get out of negative corporate environments. Get out of negative relationships. Don't associate with losers. It doesn't matter how long you've known them. If you associate with losers, you will be a loser. And if you associate with winners, you will be a winner. And by the way, sometimes people say, well, if I disassociate myself from my friends, how am I going to meet successful, positive, winning human beings? Don't worry about it. If you start thinking success, if you start feeding your mind with a steady stream of messages that are consistent with success, if you start visualizing yourself as successful, you will attract, by this law of attraction, you'll attract into your life people who are like yourself. Number 15, act the part. Pattern your conduct, behavior, and actions after successful people if you want to be successful. And this is the key to the psychology of success. I found that if you don't believe in yourself, and most of us start off not believing in ourselves, plagued with self-doubt and feelings of inferiority, it's hard to start. It's hard to start believing in yourself. It's not enough to say, believe in yourself, the way all the motivational speakers say. It's not enough, because most of us start off not believing in ourselves, and an admonition from outside doesn't help us. Remember, success starts from within, not from without. If you have low self-esteem or a poor self-image, or if you lack self-confidence, as I did, as everybody does initially, it's very difficult to change merely by thinking about it. However, I discovered that even if you don't feel like a success to start with, if you will act like a success, and if you will do the same things that successful people do over and over, you will eventually begin to feel positive, self-confident, competent, and unafraid of anything. This is remarkable. It means that you can act your way into feeling high levels of self-esteem by doing the same things that people with high self-esteem do. You see, if you feel in a particular way, you will act that way. But if you don't feel like it, you can trigger the feelings by performing the actions. And the subconscious accepts the actions as a command and then will generate the feelings within you consistent with them. If you act self-confident, soon enough you will feel self-confident. If you act boldly, you will feel bold. If you act with courage, you will feel courageous. And if you act happy, you will feel happy. Mental fitness is like physical fitness. It can be learned through repetition and practice. Remember, mental fitness is positive self-esteem, high levels of self-confidence, and courage. And you can learn it by practicing. This was the secret that turned my life around. And I've since learned that it's the key reason for the success of thousands of ordinary men and women. Well, what have we learned? Number one, top of the list, most important, success is not an accident. It is a skill. It is predictable, and it can be learned, and it can be learned by you, and it can be learned by anyone. And the sooner you learn this skill, and the sooner you become an expert in the skills of success, the sooner you achieve the great things that you were born to accomplish. Number two, if you want to be successful, you must use proven success methods. You must learn from other successful people. You must study success. You must interview successful people. You must find out everything you can about success from every source possible. You must become an authority on it. Number three, the great majority of people fail in life. That is, they do not fulfill their potentials and achieve the health, wealth, and happiness of which they're capable. They sell themselves short. They settle for far less. Number four, your level of self-esteem, how much you like yourself, how much you respect yourself and accept yourself and regard yourself, how much you esteem yourself, is the most important single determinant of your success. When you are successful, you feel tremendous about yourself. And when you are not, you don't. And everything that happens that builds your self-esteem is going to move you more rapidly toward achieving your goals in life. Number five, remember, everyone suffers fears of failure and fears of rejection. Self-doubt, lack of confidence, feelings of inferiority, inadequacy, and guilt. Guilt is the great problem of the 20th century. Feelings of inferiority come from childhood. Fears of failure and rejection go back to destructive criticism in our early formative years. Remember this, that successful people are not people who don't suffer those emotions. They're simply people who have learned how to master those emotions through practice. And so can you. Number six, you become what you think about. The stream of thoughts, words, and pictures that flow through your mind determine your personality, your attitude, your behavior, and your results in life. And finally, number seven is this. The great discovery of behavioral psychology is that if you engage in the same actions as positive, focused, self-confident, successful people, you will come to think, feel, and act like them naturally. That even if you don't feel like it, if you pretend, if you fake it until you make it, if you act the part, you will begin to think, walk, talk, act, and feel like a successful person as naturally as breathing in and breathing out. Which brings us to an important question. Why, if there's so much information available on success, do so many people fail? This question brings us to the reasons why so many underachieve the psychology of failure. Why is it that so many people fail in life? There's more information available today on how to be successful than ever before. Some of the smartest men and women who have ever lived have spent years, even decades, studying success and making their findings available in books, tapes, lectures, seminars, videos, and even complete courses of study. Self-improvement books are among the best-selling books in all the bookstores. Millions have read them, and yet the vast majority continue to live lives far below their potential, achieving far less than they're actually capable of. Vanita Van Caspel, America's First Lady of Financial Planning, says that people fail to become wealthy because, first of all, they never decide to, and secondly, even if they do decide to, they procrastinate all their lives until it's too late. Jim Rohn, the great business philosopher, says that to be successful, you should find out what failures do and don't do it. And I agree. For years, I've studied success and failure, and I'm going to explain why people fail, so you can be alert to these tendencies in yourself and others, so you can recognize the behaviors that lead to failure and make a conscious effort to avoid them. Let me say at the beginning that failure is just as predictable as success, and that people fail from within, not without. For every difficulty that supposedly stops a person from succeeding, there are thousands who have had it a lot worse and have succeeded anyway. So can you. Why do people fail? Economists say that the inability to delay gratification is a primary predictor of economic failure in life. People fail because they do what is fun and easy rather than what is hard and necessary. As Dennis Waitley says so well, they do what is tension-relieving rather than what is goal-achieving. Success and failure are more the result of habit than of anything else. Probably 90% or more of everything we do is dictated by habit. We eat the same foods, work in the same way, associate with the same people, say the same things, react the same ways to the things that happen to us over and over and over. And once a habit, good or bad, is formed, we become comfortable with it. And then we strive to remain consistent with what we're familiar with, even if our habits are leading to failure. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that a foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds, in that we're always striving to remain consistent to what we've done and said in the past. And as long as we strive to remain consistent to what we've done and said in the past, we resist change of any kind, even beneficial change. Well, psychologists call this tendency to become comfortable getting into our comfort zone. And even if our comfort zone is keeping us at a low level of performance, we stay in it rather than change. Emerson also said, "Sow a thought, and you reap an act. Sow an act, and you reap a habit. Sow a habit, and you reap a character. Sow a character, and you reap a destiny." All change for the good in our lives begins by changing our thoughts and actions so that we form habits that assure our success, and then make those habits our masters. Ed Foreman says it very well. He says that bad habits are easy to form, but hard to live with, whereas good habits are hard to form, but easy to live with. All understanding of human nature begins with understanding the way we are, and it begins with an honest understanding of ourselves. The key is self-knowledge and self-awareness of why it is we feel and act and walk and talk the way we do. When we say that's just human nature, which we say to excuse the foibles and habits of people that cause them to fail, what do we mean? Well, let's look at some of the characteristics of human nature based on our study into human action. The study of human action is the study of what people do rather than what people say or what people intend. It simply studies their actions, and it is only in studying the actions of people that we can see what it is that they think or feel or mean or intend, if you like. First thing, when we study human action, we find that human beings, all of us, value leisure. We like to take it easy. And so, therefore, we're always trying to shorten the amount of time necessary to perform any task. We always seek the easiest way to do anything. In fact, we are structured mentally in such a way that we cannot consciously choose a more difficult way to accomplish something if we can choose an easier way. So given a choice between an easier or a harder way, we will always choose the easier way, because the sooner we get the job done, the sooner we can enjoy leisure, the sooner we can take it easy. Now, in this sense, we are all basically lazy. This is neither good nor bad as such. It is only what we do as a result of this laziness that is good or bad. All human progress in science and technology comes from the tendency for people to seek faster, easier ways to get the things that we want. So, in a certain sense, laziness is a motivator to human progress. A second characteristic of human nature is that we each try to get the very most for the very least expenditure of money or effort. Given a choice between more or less, we strive to maximize, to get more wherever possible. If we're offered a choice between $10 an hour and $12 an hour for the same job, we will take the $12 an hour. If we're offered the choice between a large loaf of bread and a small loaf of bread for the same amount of money, we'll pick the larger loaf of bread. The study of the economics of all human action and the study of economics itself is the study of how to allocate resources to get the greatest possible output per unit of input. This is rational, sensible human behavior. In this sense, then, we are all greedy. This is neither good nor bad, just basic human nature. We are greedy in that we always want the very most for the very least, and we are never satisfied, and we are continually striving to get more and more all of our lives. We are never, ever really contented. Third characteristic is that each of us strives continually to improve the quality of our lives. All human action is motivated by a desire for an improvement in our conditions. In fact, we cannot consciously act to worsen our situation. Even the person who jumps off the bridge to commit suicide is doing it because he thinks that he will be better off jumping off the bridge than not jumping off the bridge. We may not always succeed, but every action we take is an attempt to be better off than we would be without the action. In this sense, then, every human being is ambitious. So far, each of us is lazy, greedy, and ambitious. We may be ambitious for different things, and we may have more or less opportunity to realize our ambitions, but we are all ambitious. The fourth characteristic is that each person thinks, acts, feels, and experiences happiness or unhappiness by and for themselves. We therefore act primarily from our own point of view, to do the things we do and to get the things we want. In other words, we are all selfish, centered on ourselves, living from the inside out. Everything we do, even charitable acts, we do because in our personal opinion, at that moment, it is the best thing for us as we see it. Selfishness, self-centeredness, is essential for survival and is neither good nor bad in itself. It just is a fact of human nature. A fifth characteristic of human nature is that because no one in the world can possibly know everything there is to know about even one subject, we are all acting on the basis of incomplete information every time we act. In this sense, we are all ignorant. No matter how much we learn, we must still act with some uncertainty, some ignorance of the facts, often with great ignorance, sometimes complete ignorance. Finally, as human beings, we have an ego. We think very highly of ourselves, as every study shows. We consider ourselves to be superior to others in many ways, in terms of intelligence, personality, appearance, leadership ability, and so on. Another way to put this is that we are all vain. This is neither good nor bad, just a normal facet of human nature. The fashion industry, the automotive industry, the cosmetics industry, the housing and home furnishings industries all appeal to our basic vanity. They're certainly not appealing to a basic need. Well, so what do we have? We have a basic human nature that by definition causes us each to be lazy, greedy, ambitious, selfish, ignorant, and vain. And we know that giving in to the worst side of this nature is the reason for so much unhappiness in the world. Is it any wonder why there's so many problems in the world with 4 billion plus lazy, greedy, ambitious, selfish, ignorant, and vain people running around trying to make a living? We also know that people are pretty much the same in terms of what they want. We all want basically the same things in this order of priority, although we want them with different degrees of intensity, and we settle for different levels of achievement in each of these areas. First of all, security. Security is number one. This is our basic need, the survival instinct, security of life and limb. Physical security, economic security, emotional security, we value security very, very highly. Any threat to our security in any area brings an immediate reaction to protect and defend. Lack of security makes us angry, fearful, and defensive. Second thing that we want is comfort, and this is what we go for once we've achieved what is to us an acceptable level of security. We seek comfort, especially physical comfort. We pay an enormous amount and work very hard to gain the comforts that we desire. The third thing, once we have enough comfort and security, we want to relax. We want to take time off. We want leisure. And we want to put up our feet. Leisure is a valued good, and we work very hard and pay dearly for it. Holidays are leisure. Golf is leisure. Tennis is leisure. The leisure time activities in our society today consume hundreds of billions of dollars. Remember, we are all basically lazy. We like leisure, and we will pay very highly for it. Number four is love. We seek the affection and the love of others. This is something we desire so intensely that we will even die for it. Each of us needs to be loved to feel fully human, and we strive for it all our lives. The fifth thing that we all want is respect. We need to be recognized and respected by others outside our family group. Because we are basically vain, we seek the praise and appreciation of other people. We will make great efforts to earn and keep the goodwill and respect of others toward us. And finally, the sixth thing that we want is fulfillment. Each of us has a deep inner craving for a sense of meaning and purpose in life. Dr. Viktor Frankl said that the need for meaning and purpose is the deepest of all subconscious cravings. We want to feel that we are fulfilling our potentials and becoming everything that we're capable of becoming. So, the human race, you and I, is made up of people who are basically lazy, greedy, ambitious, selfish, ignorant, and vain. All of them are striving for security, comfort, leisure, love, respect, and fulfillment. And here is the key point. The basic law of human nature is that people always tend to seek the fastest and easiest way to get the things they want, and usually to get the things they want right now. I call this the expediency factor, or the E factor, and it explains why people succeed and why they fail, why families, corporations, organizations, and nations succeed and fail. Because of the unwillingness to delay gratification, as we spoke about earlier, the vast majority of people immediately act to get the things they want now, the fastest and easiest way, even if the long-term consequences of their actions will be underachievement and failure. Here are some common examples with which we're all familiar. Young man drops out of high school to take a job, to buy a car, to impress the girls. That's the expedient thing to do. And the long-term price is a lifetime of low wages and frustrating work. This is called short-term gain for long-term pain. A second example, which we see all the time, is unions. They strike for higher-than-market wages at the long-term price of permanently crippling the industry and causing permanent unemployment for their members. A perfect example is Chrysler Corporation, which almost went bankrupt because of outsized wage settlements in previous years. A third example, which we see, is government employees increase their budgets and staff to inflate their salaries at the long-term price of huge government deficits, inflation, and economic recession. I'm convinced that most of our economic problems in society come from expecting people in government to act in our best interests when they're put into office. When the entire governmental system says that the bigger your area of responsibility, the higher your budget, the greater the number of staff you have, the more you get paid. So when push comes to shove, the government servant, by basic human nature, will opt to increase the size of his department in order to increase the size of his rewards. Fourth example, people quit jobs to live off unemployment insurance at the long-term price of diminished self-respect and lower lifetime earnings. Another example, which you see all the time, is criminals. They engage in robberies, burglaries, and theft to get immediate funds at the price of a ruined life in society. A sixth example is people do only what they have to do to earn a paycheck, then spend their time socializing and watching television at the long-term price of failure in life. And the seventh example is men and women everywhere do what is fun and easy rather than what is hard and necessary at the long-term price of never fulfilling their unique potentials. The pull of the E factor is very strong. It causes the vast majority of men and women to indulge themselves at whim, to ignore the secondary long-term consequences of their actions, and by refusing to delay gratification, to engage in short-term pain for long-term gain, they condemn themselves to lives of frustration and disappointment. The E factor explains most failure in adult life. Only those rare few men and women, less than 5% in each generation, who consciously master themselves and resist the gravitational pull of the E factor ever really succeed in the long term. The one human quality that must be developed for success is self-discipline, the willpower to force yourself to do what you know you should do, when you should do it, whether you like it or not, whether you feel like it or not. Napoleon Hill, the author of Think and Grow Rich, after a lifetime of studying some of the most successful men and women that America ever produced, came to the conclusion that the ability to exert self-discipline on oneself was the master key to riches. A famous study spanning 12 years concluded that successful people are simply those who make a habit of doing what unsuccessful people don't like to do. And what are the things that unsuccessful people don't like to do? They're the same things that successful people don't like to do, but successful people do it because they know that that is the price of success. Every act of self-discipline strengthens the habit of self-discipline, just as every act of expediency strengthens the tendency to act expediently. It has been said that hard work, persistence, and focusing on clear, specific goals are the keys to success. That's true. But these are merely the outer expressions of self-discipline, as it were, self-discipline in action. Whenever we think of a person we admire, a man or woman of character or integrity, we always think of a person who does not and would not act expediently. When we think of great men and women, we think of those who would do whatever was right and noble, rather than what was expedient under all circumstances. In fact, one of the conclusions I came to early on was that the degree of character that you have is in direct proportion to your ability to resist expediency. That at the very bottom of the scale of character are people who will do whatever is fast and easy to get whatever they want without any concern or with reckless disregard for the consequences. And at the very top of the scale of character, you have men and women who will always do what they believe to be right, no matter what the temptations and no matter what the external environment. In fact, strength of character is simply the ability to resist acting in a lazy, greedy, ambitious, selfish, ignorant, and vain way. Your key to success in life is to resolve to do what you know you should do, what other successful, self-disciplined people do, when you should do it, whether you feel like it or not. True self-esteem, the foundation quality of your success, comes from mastering yourself, resisting the temptation to take the fastest and easiest way, and sticking to what you know to be right until you win through. This is the psychology, the mindset of success. Self-esteem requires self-discipline, and self-discipline builds self-esteem. Well, what have we learned? The first thing that we've learned, number one, is that failure is as predictable as success. You must be aware of what failures do and don't do it. And since the great majority of men and women are going nowhere with their lives, you must be very careful to observe in your environment people who are going nowhere and don't do what they do. Don't read what failures read. Don't watch what failures watch on television. Don't spend your time the way failures spend their time. Number two, success and failure are more the result of your habits than anything else. You must develop success habits and make them your masters. And you must learn those success habits from other successful people whose achievements you admire. Number three, remember, and this is the key to understanding economics, it's the key to understanding marketing, it's the key to understanding why things go wrong in our society, even with the best of intentions, and it is that everyone is naturally, that means by nature, lazy, greedy, ambitious, selfish, ignorant, and vain. Now, this is neither good nor bad, it's just a fact of life. It is only the way people demonstrate these qualities that makes them either good or bad. It is always the actions, not the qualities themselves. We know also, number four, that everyone wants the same things. You and I, we all want the same things, though often with different degrees of intensity. We all seek security, comfort, leisure, love, respect, and fulfillment. Now, people at the lower end of the socioeconomic scales in our societies settle for a certain modicum of security, a little bit of comfort, and then all they care about is leisure and a little bit of love. And they're not too concerned about respect and fulfillment. People at the upper socioeconomic levels of our society demand a solid foundation of security, a good deal of comfort, more leisure, a greater intensity and quality of love, more respect from their fellow men, and a greater sense of self-fulfillment in life. Number five, the natural human tendency is to seek the fastest and easiest way to get the things we want right now, with little or no concern for the long-term consequences of our actions. And the tendency to seek the fastest and easiest way almost invariably leads us to engage in actions that cause us to fail in the long term. Number six, the ability to discipline yourself to delay gratification in the short term in order to enjoy greater rewards in the long term is the indispensable prerequisite for success. And finally, number seven, when you develop the habit of self-discipline, you free yourself from the E factor. With self-discipline come the feelings of self-esteem, self-confidence, pride, and satisfaction that are the great treasures of the human experience. And one more point, one of the most important things I've ever learned, a philosophic point, if you like. Your values, your true beliefs, are always expressed and only expressed in your actions. It is not what you say, and it is not what you intend, but what you do that signifies what you really believe. If you engage in the actions of successful people, if you practice the same principles and live by the same rules, you will eventually come to be exactly like them in your beliefs. We will look at the 10 vital principles of success, achievement, and peak performance. Living by these 10 principles will enable you to accomplish anything you really want in life.